So today, hi, I'm Kyle, and this is Funk Radio.
Hi, Kyle.
We're just busting right in. We're not even doing an intro. Just, y'all know what this is. If you don't, get out.
You have had 197 previous chances
to understand what we are.
To know what the hell you're listening to.
Yeah. Yeah. Episode 200 coming up here pretty fast.
And we have no idea what we're doing.
Yeah, we never have any idea what we're doing. We don't even know what we're doing for episode 199, so.
That's true. Yeah, that is true.
But I know what I'm talking about today, because I saw it on YouTube. I'll credit Vox for initially breaching this subject, because plagiarism is bad. But I did think it was an interesting subject, so I kind of wanted to reverberate it here on Funk Radio. They had a video that they put up a little while ago talking about reverb in music and how this certain style of 80s reverb called gated reverb actually kind of came about by accident, and in the process was then subsequently used in pretty much every 80s song from, you know, then on. And it's kind of interesting, because for those of you that don't know, reverb is a echo sound that you hear a lot in music. It can either be created naturally by actually being in a large room and recording for a far distance away from the source of sound, i.e. the singer or instruments, will create a sort of echoey effect. Nowadays, that effect can easily be created electronically with computers and programs and whatnot. But back in the 80s, it was the idea of digital music and digital sort of sound was just first coming about. Before that, as we discussed in previous episodes with things like records, it was all analog. So in like 81, the famous 80s artist Phil Collins, Peter Gabriel, and I think it was back when they were both with Genesis. I don't remember. I don't know shit about them. facts. We don't need them. Okay, so it was when they were with Genesis. They were recording in the studio, and Phil Collins at the time was the drummer for Genesis, and he was just playing a simple drum beat. However, they were using a recording console that had some new features that was linked to a mic that was hanging in the studio, and Phil Collins was just messing with the drums, and it was going into the microphone, but because of the way it was fed back to the recording console, the microphone had what's called a condenser on it, which a lot of mics have, where it compresses music in a way where it lowers the sound of loud noises and amplifies the sound of soft noises to kind of create a more muddled sound. In fact, that they still use condensers to actually, quote unquote, condense music files. That's a whole other episode we could probably get into later on about how music nowadays is completely fucked because of that. But anyways, so because it was fed through this condenser, it made the drums have this sort of reverb sound, but once the reverb went too high, it would just cut off. So it was like a very abrupt reverb that sounded almost like you were playing inside of a tin can or something. And they thought it sounded really cool, and because they were like, oh shit, this sounds really cool, we gotta record this, they recorded it on the first song of that album, and it became so popular that when Peter Gabriel actually broke off from the band and did his own shit, he basically like is like, this is my sound now, I'm gonna make a bunch of shit with this sound.
Is that a direct quote from him?
Yes. That's this is a fact. This is not fake news.
So can you pause for a second here?
Yes.
So this mic that was picking up this drumming,
yes,
that he was doing, was this a mic that would normally not be picking up drums?
I think it was.
I assume not, because like if it was an accident, obviously it wasn't intended to be picking that
up. It wasn't intended to be picking up the drums. The mic setup was actually meant so that the person in the sound studio and the person in the, you know, recording area that has the console are able to talk to each other. So it was meant as a feedback mic, almost like a walkie-talkie.
It's like a communicator mic.
Yeah.
Okay.
Interesting. But apparently that mic accidentally got fed into the system And because it wasn't a high quality mic, it was just, it had a condenser on it. It created that sort of like rough walkie-talkie sound, I guess.
So kind of it was like the 80s equivalent to like audio, like digital compression.
Kinda.
Nowadays. And for some reason they thought that was cool. So it became a thing. Okay. That's interesting.
And so, yeah. And so this recording of the drumming in that sense became what's known as gated reverb, because it's reverb that doesn't slowly fade out like a natural echo would. It just cuts off.
Okay.
So it has an interesting sort of abrupt harshness to it. And as I said, Peter Gabriel ended up using that sound a lot in his 1980 solo album. Most famous song off that album was the song Intruder. Do you want to play clips of some of these, just so people know what the hell I'm talking about? Okay, so sure. I'll play the drum clip from Intruder right now, and you guys can kind of understand what the fuck I'm talking about, because I'm probably rambling and make no sense.
I know something about opening the windows and doors. I know
how to... Have you ever been in an intruder, Kyle?
Maybe. I'm not allowed to talk about that. Probably a lot of listeners don't know the song Intruder by Peter Gabriel, but the song that you invariably do know, because everyone knows this song, is In the Air Tonight by Phil Collins, ironically also of initially of Genesis. And that famous drum beat where it's like yeah, that's made with the same effect. And that's basically like the quintessential 80s drum. Like, when people say 80s music, they think of that song.
Right.
So, yeah, we're going to play that clip just because you can't mention In the Air Tonight without playing that. My favorite version was the Mike Tyson version from The Hangover. Speaking of boxing, are you going to watch the infamous Mayweather-McGregor fight, Peter?
I had no idea that was a thing. Peter. I only keep up with my own fights. I don't have time for other people's fighting.
Yes. Okay. I honestly could give two shits. I could give a single shit, and I'd still be one more shit than I actually give. But it's Mayweather's...
This is quality programming.
Yes. Mayweather is the boxer guy. He's, like, undefeated. McGregor is a UFC fighter, Irish guy. For whatever reason, they had a beef. So someone had the great idea of, like, hey, let's turn your beef into a promotional opportunity and make everyone a fuck ton of money. And they were like, oh, we're going to have them box, even though the McGregor guy isn't a boxer. He's a UFC fighter. So he's probably going to die. So it's that they ramped up this huge fight. There's a huge, you know... fake beef between them, and I guess it's either happening today or tomorrow, I don't know, but I think the odds for like Mayweather winning are like 900-1 or something.
Oh my god.
So if you bet on McGregor and he wins, you'll basically be like an instant millionaire.
So what you're saying is you and I need to get into a big fight, and that will be our promotional 200th episode thing. is you and I fighting each other?
If we have to do it, but we have to do it with sock and boppers. That's what me and Peter are gonna do for the 200th episode. I'm gonna fly Peter down here, and we're gonna have a backyard rumble with sock and boppers. It's gonna be like that all-star bum fights, but with us and pillows.
And at the end, we'll make up, we'll have a big hug, and then we'll drink some Capri Suns and eat some Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
And some Otter Pops. I just, like in racing and stuff, whoever wins, they end up dumping like champagne on them or something. I just imagine just dumping a bunch of Kool-Aid on you. Or just throwing Otter Pops at you.
That's funny.
Half-melted ones, of course. Oh, now I want an Otter Pop. Anyways, what was I talking about? Where am I?
Something about Oh, I think we listened to a clip of something.
We listened to In the Air Tonight by Phil Collins, and then we started talking about boxing. So yeah, In the Air Tonight, Phil Collins, super famous song, uses the same gated reverb, and because of this accidental discovery of having, you know, a drum recording go through a shitty microphone into a console that it wasn't meant to go through, it created the drum sound of the 80s, I guess.
So basically everybody started doing this?
Yes.
Sounds like.
Yeah, Prince did it a shit ton. John Cougar Mellonhead did it a shit ton. The funny thing was that, you know, before these 80s digital consoles, reverb really was kind of made the natural way. You put someone in a big-ass room, you put them on one end, you put a speaker on the other that plays what they're, you know, recording or saying back into the microphone, but because of that, you know, that distance, it creates an echo. And the thing about having a giant room is, you know, in a recording studio, sometimes having a giant-ass room just isn't feasible because of the size of the studio, right? So in the 80s, right, they developed this box called an AMS RMX-16, which was this shoebox-sized digital reverb creator, I guess, that had a bunch of different pre-programmed, you know, systems in it that could create different reverb sounds, whether it be like a concert hall sounding reverb or being in like a garage, or it even had the built-in gated reverb that ended up becoming so popular.
So it would take an input and then run it through some kind of
circuit boards, basically. Yeah, it was basically,
yeah, and then it would output the converted whatever.
Exactly.
Interesting.
And this device came out in 1982, just a year after the, you know, the natural version was accidentally discovered. So once you were able to create that as a preset in a digital box, you know, everyone was like, oh, I can do this now.
And do we know whether those two things were directly related to each other? Or was it kind of coincidence?
Well, the audio engineer that initially discovered this, I'm sure, you know, kind of shared this discovery. And because it became a popular sound, I'm sure audio engineers had a hand in designing this reverb box. They were like, oh, we got to put this in there because it's popular.
Well, yeah, that definitely seems more practical than like, okay, we have to record in a room of a certain size. And the stuff has to be this.
Exactly.
That seems really like annoyingly analog.
Exactly. But yeah, pretty much every artist in the 80s afterwards used this. Prince used it in his 1986 song Kiss. What's funny is he helped to actually, evolve this sound, this type of reverb, and he created what's called a non-linear reverb. Regular reverb, you know, fades down as it, you know, goes out because an echo, you know, fades. With a non-linear reverb, it actually gets louder and then abruptly cuts off. So similar to non-gated, it has that abrupt end, but before it reaches that point, it actually increases in volume. It's kind of weird sounding.
So when it repeats, does it like build on top of itself each time?
Kinda, yeah.
Or something.
Yeah.
I don't really know. I'm kind of just trying to guess.
I honestly don't either. It's just magic to me. It's sound magic. So yeah, the reason that they even mentioned this gated reverb as a thing in this initial box video is because that sound is actually coming back. A lot of pop artists like Carly Rae Jepsen and Taylor Swift and Katy Perry are using it in their songs now to kind of, you know, harken back to that 80s pop sound. In fact, I think Taylor Swift's last album was called 1989, which ironically I think was the year she was born. So, yeah, basically the moral of this podcast is that 80s music sound is back. Yay. That would be an interesting future episode, is musical, what's the word?
Mishaps.
Yeah, sure. Musical discoveries that happened by accident. I mean, if you think about it, a lot of scientific progress is usually made by accident.
That's a good point. Seems like there's been a couple times where I think we've talked about stuff happening unexpectedly. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, what was... I think when we did that episode on like hidden tracks, and I think that it was the Beatles.
Yeah, with, they figured out
it was like at the very end of the record in the middle where it like loops.
Yeah,
and like
they accidentally left it there, or something.
Yeah, like they were the first ones to like record something onto that like 10-second loop or whatever, but they figured that out by accident.
Yeah, exactly.
Something like that.
Yeah. So yeah. Future episode idea, happy accidents. I just had an accident in my pants.
Was it happy?
No, I'm very sad now.
Well, while Kyle deals with that, maybe you listeners can tell us what you think about things on Facebook at facebook.com/getyourfunk. Also tell us if you can think of any other songs or musical artists who use this gated reverb effect. I'm definitely going to keep my ears open.
I can see the reverb.
I can see the music, guys.
There's a scientific term, I forget the name of it right now, where people experience senses as other senses. So there's groups of people that say they can actually see sound.
What the fuck?
Yeah, it's really trippy. I'm going to Google this real quick.
I'm sure the sounds that we make on this show are horrifying to look at.
A blind person's like, oh god. Oh, it's called synesthesia. There's like nothing but S's and TH's. It's like this and this and this.
Okay, well, if you're listening to us anywhere, hello. And if you're not, then you're not hearing this anyway. Bye.
We love you. We're so sorry.